Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos. Or on your internet-equipped mobile device. Or your computer.
Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, like a worm on a hook, like a knight in an old-fashioned book. I have saved all my ribbons for thee. And
like a bird on a wire, David Soul. Was he singing about Stella the Starling? I don't know. It wasn't a case of bird on a wire. It was bird in a cat's mouth, specifically Grayson's mouth. Oh, well, Tessa, how is Stella the Starling?
Hello. Well, I can report Stella the Starling has been set free, so flying around somewhere.
Well, who'd have thought it then? You know, success and joy. Yeah. You, together with Lois, managed to successfully rescue Stella the Starling from the jaws of Grayson, who probably sort of felt, what do I have to do to get a bit of, you know, nice bird breast meat these days? You know, what do I have to do?
He was tormenting and playing. He wasn't even digging in or eating the bird. It was torture to watch, Alex. Mm. I couldn't see it no longer. We were doing another interview and it was...
Naughty Grayson, bad Grayson, appalling Grayson. What a way to start the Midweek Drive, which is what we're doing.
I know.
It's amazing still to come. We'll be looking to a wonderful performance poet, Tom Foolery, who has had his YouTube channel go through the roof since lockdown. And in keeping with a whole range of folk, as Emma Tinson actually said in a previous show, almost has set up their own YouTube channel as well and podcasts. And everybody has a podcast these days. Honestly, it's really some sort of threshold for the whole thing. I mean, there's so many things like Country in the Kitchen and Buddy the Gurr and Girl that kind of survive on the whole thing. Never mind. Okay,
well,
so
you know, yeah. It starts on the Midweek Drive. We've gone on to flourish
Well,
no iron shows.
There you are.
And that's why.
Exactly. Blossoming from that point of view, which is wonderful. It's a bit like Bethany has her own programme in Glamorgan now, Beth Gulliver, and even Katie is appearing regularly on BBC West Midlands. Okay, so not one, but two fantastic things we're going to work through on the programme today. So I'm going to reverse things around, really, before we actually go on to feature The Rising and Harley Moon Kemp. I'm going to give you that little choice decision again. And because they've been rejected so often, I'm afraid that the Shires aren't one of your choices this week. I've just pulled them completely.
Oh,
yeah, no, I've said no.
I've
taken them away for the moment. They may return, but they had a fit of it. They said, what's the point? You know, it's just wow. They got into that mindset and they just felt there's nowhere to go. So we can offer you either Ward Thomas and Guilty Flowers, or Guilty Grayson, don't know, something which is so, so, so important for our contemporary times. You may have heard it, you may not have heard it, of course. It's a group called The Band and The Wait.
Oh.
The Band, of course, if you do your search, you'll find it was one of the initial supergroup packages from that point of view. So you've got The Band or The Wait or Guilty Flowers and Ward Thomas. Which one are you going to opt for?
It's so, so challenging every week because you either throw in, you know, somebody new or two songs that I really like, an artist. And it's a really difficult position to be put in, Alex.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
you know.
Well, look, I really love Ward Thomas, so I'm going to have to go with them in Guilty Flowers because I particularly like this track.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, I know.
2 years to the day, straight up an instant connection. You broke her heart for me and I let you. History is telling me I'm gonna be walking in her shoes. You let her down for me, now it's my turn. Should've known I could've told you you were lying. Fool me once, fool me twice, so stupid me. Didn't wanna doubt, didn't wanna find out. Could be somebody different. There were signs in your eyes. Wonder why I kept mine closed. Another notch on your bedpost. I should have known. I could have told you you were lying. Fool me once, fool me twice. So stupid me. Didn't want to doubt, didn't want to find out. But now I know, 'cause you came home with guilty.
And that was what Tessa chose, as opposed to going for a band that were described by music critic Bruce Eder as one of the most popular and influential rock groups in the world, their music embraced by critics as seriously as the music of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. We had The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. They were Bob Dylan's backing band as well. But you went for Ward Thomas, and clearly,
I wish we could play them all, you know. I wish we could, but then there wouldn't be a song competition then, would there?
Well,
but Ward Thomas were supposed to be playing in Lincoln, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think this month, and
it's not going to happen
next year.
No, so. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah. I suppose it could happen. You just actually have to sell maybe five tickets at, say, £5,000 each, and then people will be
exactly.
socially distanced. So you just have to reduce the numbers. You know, we see a situation where certain clubs, Middlesbrough, for instance, allow 1,000 spectators in, and they can obviously watch a game. Unfortunately, you know, Leeds United still haven't actually won a game as yet. So clearly, your dad's going to be a bit frustrated. They might have won by the time this goes out. You don't know.
He's had his hands full just lately. He's been putting a new kitchen in, so kind of taking his mind off of things.
Yeah. Surely things can get better than this. See what I did there.
I'll see what you did there. Nicely done, Alex.
Over to you then.
Nicely done. Okay, well, we're returning with our friends from Ireland, The Rising, a pop rock duo we featured many, many times on the show. And they're continuing on with their monthly single release with this particular track called Better Than This. And once again, they've changed it up. But of course, this track is very relatable. And it's all about no matter how hard things seem, they can always get better. So see if you like it.
Shop. She's got bills to pay, but no coins in the jar. And at the end of the night, she'll flirt her way to the bar. It's gotta get better than this. Now she'll go out every weekend with her guitar, and she'll be chasing her dreams in some dead end bar. And she'll try and she'll try, but she won't get so far. You can show them you can.
cut a long story short, if you want some girls' news about a lifeline that could be thrown out there, there's a loose connection between those particular tunes by, of course, Spandau Ballet and Tessa's next choice of music. I don't know. Do we go for the connection? I mean, Tessa, have you identified the connection? What is the connection, Tessa?
Well, the connection is that Harley Moon Kemp is the daughter of Martin Kemp from Spandau Ballet.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons, before we actually feature She Looks Like Me, which again is another one of your choices, which we've shared and put on in this double joy of examples, I'm giving you that choice of three of her dad's famous classics to actually go for to start off with. I know it could set the family at war, but I feel, you know, we'll take it down that line. Just think if I'd actually kept the Shires in there at this stage, where we would have actually gone. Yeah, yeah.
What have we got?
That's with also adding Penny Evans to the mix. It's all right. Penny has been played and featured, but it's wow. the lines are Lifeline, Gold, or To Cut a Long Story Short. Which one of those are you going to go for?
Oh, see, again, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because Gold is a classic,
yes,
and everybody knows it.
Mm.
Lifeline, we all kind of need one of those at the moment,
mm-hmm,
don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then, which one do I go for? Why don't we go with the hit? Let's go with Gold.
To cut a long story short, was a classic of its time. You sure you're desperately gonna throw that out?
Oh,
basically,
I don't know. I know. I'm being boring, aren't I? Go on then. Let's go with To Cut a Long Story Short. Go with that one.
Always be the theme for Dominic Cummings, or Boris Johnson, or Donald Trump, or whatever. To cut a long story short, I lost my mind.
Oh,
it's so good, isn't it, that one? I'm glad we went with that one, Alex.
I just thought, you know, because, you know, gold is regularly churned, that there are other ones that are there. It's just a thought. Of course, Harley also has an older brother. No, she has a younger brother. She has a younger brother called Roman, who, as well as being a radio DJ at Capital FM, also apparently took part in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The Kemps obviously continue on. I'm sure that Shirley Holliman actually was part of Pepsi and Shirley, the duet that were also part of the backing singers for Wham back in
for
the
Wham,
day.
So very, very musical family.
You could say that. You could say that.
But obviously Harley, she's been writing behind the scenes for some time, which people, you know, don't know about. And a song she's just written for Una Healey, who was, of course, in the Saturdays, the song has just gone to number one. So, you know, she's worked on a lot of material that people aren't really aware of. So it's nice that she's now bringing out her own music. This is the second single she's released. It's out now, called She Looks Like Me. And it was actually co-written in Nashville with the late Blue Miller, of course, before lockdown hit. It was done quite a while before. And produced by Fred Abbott of Noah and the Whales. So quite diverse there. And it's all about seeing an old lover with his new flame. So it's another relatable track if you've been in that situation. See if you like this one by Harley Moon Kemp.
It changed the room when she walked in. Something about her drew me in. Long brown hair. Perfume was the kind I liked. Tried to smile as she walked by. Can I keep my heart from breaking? Do I watch her even more? 'Cause all she's got me thinking about is how you loved me before. I didn't need to know her name. She didn't have to speak. I can't take my eyes off her. She looks like me. I bet you talk all night and you don't sleep. He makes you laugh, doesn't he? Bet you wear his shirt I like, or maybe it's all in my mind. Can I keep my heart from breaking? Do I watch her even more? 'Cause all she's got me thinking about is how you loved me before. I didn't need to know her name. She didn't have to speak. I can't.
Nothing to do with seeing yourself in the mirror then, or indeed clones. Harley Moon Kemp and She Looks Like Me.
And of course, you can catch Harley talking to me on a previous episode of Country in the Kitchen, Volume 21, and she talks all about that song and kind of how country music has been a natural fit, because it wasn't really country that she was going into, but because of her songwriting, it fits perfectly. So, yes.
There we are, you see. She's done Country in the Kitchen before even touching the Midweek Drive. It just goes to show we're playing the thing first. So anyway, life continues. Okay, Tessa, that's pretty much a wrap for this particular segment. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have. It's been great. There's been a lot of music involved. So that's always good.
Oh, there we are. Take it then. Country in the Kitchen, every Friday a new episode drops, to use the vernacular. But you'll also be back on the Midweek Drive for various other things, and we'll return in the future, yes?
I will do indeed, if you'll have me again.
Of course. It's canned heat.
Poem that touched hearts globally, now released as a book. Well, again, when you are a spoken word poet, a performer, a filmmaker, etc., you pretty much have got the title Renaissance Man almost wrapped up, really. Certainly polymath. We're delighted now to actually welcome the awesome Thomas Roberts to the programme. How are you, Thomas?
I'm very well, thank you. I was just working on being a polymath here.
Yeah, well, it'll happen, you know, polymath to Renaissance individual, it'll all happen. Now, the great realization, which is what we're focusing on about today, that was a response to the global pandemic. Talk us through again your inspiration in terms of coming up with the great realization.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a strange lockdown for so many of us, and for me personally, what happened was I was working as a freelance filmmaker for a big company. I was making the videos for their Instagram account. And because I was a freelancer, when lockdown hit, you know, my job just ceased to exist, you know, it just vanished. And so did my source of income. So I had to move back home. So I moved in with my dad, my little brother and sister, who are seven. My dad is a professor of epidemiology. So he was called back in to work in the hospitals. So it really was just me and these two little guys in the house all day. And naturally, I would try my best to teach them with the resources that the school would send us. But there's a whole, as all the parents with small children will know who've been homeschooling, there's a lot more day than those PDFs fill. So you know, we really turned to, as a filmmaker, I've got some of my own gear, and I started making these projects and writing these poems and then turning them into short films and trying to involve these two as much as possible, to teach them about what I do and also to find a way of helping us all to understand what was going on and to respond to it. And I released three poems, and they were, you know, they were by the by, and I was getting used to the form. And by the time we got to the fourth, I felt really comfortable in filming them and making them, that we could spend more time thinking about the message and the meaning. And, you know, the fourth one was the great realization.
And the great thing about this activity, of course, is you've demonstrated how, yes, we've had pandemic challenges, but technology has actually helped artists and the creative industries in general really improve the way in which we can, as human beings, express ourselves.
No, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, there's something so beautiful about a live show and being in front of an audience and, you know, having that energy and that electricity and being able to express yourself like that. But also, we cannot deny that at our fingertips, we potentially have the whole world available to us. Mm. You know, so I was really interested in trying to find a way to take this art form that a lot of people, I think, and I'm used to this from doing poetry shows, but when, you know, when you've just had a musician and then the host says, next to the stage, you know, we've got a spoken word poet or a poet, you see the audience roll their eyes and think, oh, no, goodness, this boy's probably going to bare his soul to me. And I think,
Thomas, it's the new rock and roll. It's the whole thing. I mean, it's there. Benjamin Zephaniah set a pace and you're following in the footsteps excellently.
Oh, thank you. I love Benjamin.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I was intrigued to find, in terms of the celebrities who've been really impressed with this work, of course, Jennifer Aniston, yes. Khloe Kardashian, fine. Drew Barrymore, of course. Kirsten Bell. Danny Drinkwater. I mean, I know he's trying to sort out his footballing career, and he's not been the same since he sort of joined Chelsea, but that was an intriguing one.
Yeah, I remember, like everyone else, watching that glorious season. I think it was 2016 when they won it. And goodness, yeah, I haven't seen anything that exciting in sport. You know, I'm a big football fan. I support Liverpool because my dad's from North Wales, just next to Liverpool. And yet that season I couldn't do anything but watch Leicester games. It was so exciting. So yeah, when Danny sent me a message of congratulations, that was actually one of the ones that I got really excited about. I was like, oh.
No, quite so. And I'm sure I say you might like to do a sort of a follow up to the great realization with Danny Drinkwater career, you know, or something along basic. Maybe it could motivate him from that point of view. I won't mention my affinity with Pep Guardiola in Manchester City. Otherwise, we'd just end the interview now. So let's progress in terms of
excellent manager, though.
Indeed. The illustrations for this text course, you've got a fantastic Japanese artist and illustrator, Nomoko, who's been involved with respect to that. I mean, this is really striking me, basically, Tom, as being, you know, a whole range of convergence in a wonderful artistic form, the sort of thing we've talked about for years, but you're making it happen.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad. I'm really glad that I was able to work with Nomoko. She's this incredibly talented Japanese illustrator. Her work is so perfect for a children's book, but also I feel like, you know, we know what to expect from children's book illustrations, I think, from, you know, from the ones that have been so successful and rich in our culture, like the Roald Dahl books or even David Walliams's books now. And what Nomoko does is she brings this whole fresh artistic approach, which I just fell in love with, where she, you know, walks this line between abstract and literal so deftly. You know, it was such a pleasure to be able to work with her. And she, you know, I don't know how she slept for 3 months because she got it all together to such a high standard. And now, as of a week and a half ago, we've got this gorgeous book that we can share with people,
pointing at a better, kinder, more sustainable and simple future, and a reminder that there is hope in the most challenging moments. Already, Thomas, you're certainly a wonderful example of Generation Z at its finest, no doubt, which is great stuff. But where can people actually get hold of the book? Can they go online, presumably, and purchase it? What's the best way to actually get hold of a copy?
You can. So if you're lost on the internet and you go to probablytomfoolery.com, You know, there's a helpful bar that will direct you to all the available places that are stocking it. Or you can go into a bookstore in person, into a Waterstones, Blackwell's, Foyles, W.H. Smith's.
Socially distanced, of course.
Socially distanced with your mask on, and pick up a copy. And hopefully it can be a useful tool for parents and reading to their children as a way of understanding this time.
Absolutely. The great realization already, 60 million views on YouTube and so on. And again, it's worthwhile noting that this launch celebrates NHS heroes, the world coming together, and indeed this new way of living that we're all into before, of course, we take on board the Elon Musk routes to Mars, or maybe other planets are available. Venus, I think the Russians have put in a claim for Venus now, but the new way of living post-global pandemic. Thomas, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Well, that's okay. We can actually add smiley face to that. It's our feedback scenario. It's always important. Can we then prevail upon you to join us again? Will you come back sometime and talk us more about the life and times of tomfoolery and indeed your good self, Thomas Roberts?
It would be my absolute pleasure. Yeah, anytime you want me, I'll be there.
The road is long, with many winding turns that leads us to knows where. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not inform. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart is filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we
brother.
Recent research from the One-to-One Diet by Cambridge Weight Plan has shown that a quarter of us have put on at least 5 pounds during the past few months, with 3.3 million people putting on more than a stone during the lockdown period. Now, I appreciate that listeners today who might already be thinking, we're back in lockdown, or out of lockdown, or in partial lockdown. But nevertheless, the key thing remains, how do we actually stay fit? How do we get fit again? How do we stay healthy? And who better to actually talk about this than two fabulous folk. First of all, ace Olympian and indeed one of the Lincolnshire Show's finest ever visitors, Roger Black. How are you, Roger?
Hello, thank you. Thanks for that. I remember that, yeah.
Those halcyon days when social distancing was just something completely different, but there we are. No, excellent. And of course, ace nutritionist from, of course, the One-to-One Diet by Cambridge Weight Plan, the wonderful Mark Gilbert. How are you, Mark?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me on, Alex.
Excellent. Now, Mark, just talk us through some of the findings of this research, because again, it suggests that, you know, people may be coming too used to the takeaway option, or rather not the takeaway, the delivery option, and other sort of elements, and perhaps you're eating the wrong kind of food, comfort food, of course, all not great for us staying healthy.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, some people, when they're put in a foreign situation like lockdown, they're not too far from the fridge all the time. They may not get out much. Their usual routine may include walking medium, even long distances, even walking through the office, you know, back and forth. All these things add up. And if you're not doing them, and along with snacking in the kitchen, making maybe some of the wrong food choices, because some people, when they get anxiety, they comfort eat. So all these things contribute to some people having a bad time of it when something like lockdown happens.
So, Roger, in terms of actually addressing this, because, I mean, you strike me as the master motivator in so many wonderful ways. How can we start addressing this challenge that was revealed by the research?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to acknowledge that we need to do something about it, but also to not be too hard on ourselves, because, remember, this is nobody's fault, what we've all been through. The habits that we were used to have been changed because we had to change our circumstances. And for most people, that means being at home and not being out far more. So I think that's the starting point. And then make it easy on yourself. So if we're talking about fitness, just come up with a plan, but make it easy, make it achievable. And the same with diet, but also recognize that it isn't one size that fits all. I mean, I may be quite happy to go for a 25-minute jog on a regular basis, which is what I do, but someone else might want to, you know, go for a swim or go on a bike. And it's the same with diets. And so therefore, you know, find someone who can help you and recognize what is the best diet for you, what is the best exercise for you. And then buddy up, find other people to do it with. I always enjoy, you know, running with other people. I always enjoy playing sports with other people. So I think, you know, don't see it as this huge challenge and I've got to change my life. Make it something that you can achieve and can become a new habit in your day-to-day life.
It's interesting, Mark, looking at, again, some of the findings of this survey, that three things people wish they'd done more of during lockdown include exercising, losing weight, and getting more jobs done around the house, whilst actually post-pandemic, they're certainly looking at cutting back on new clothes and indeed buying lunch out, which is maybe a case of we're into a whole series of mini post-pandemic resolutions here.
Yes, it's almost like a New Year's scenario when you put it that way, I guess. I think just because of the massive change, like Roger said, you do get, there's a few things here. Some people actually, like, I've never seen so many people jogging around the streets either. So there's probably a lot of people who took this as an opportunity, maybe because they had more time or flexibility to go out and run. So some people have probably got fitter and healthier, but you have this very significant amount of people who went the other way. And like Roger says, no one's fault. Everyone reacts differently to these kinds of things. It's the same way everyone reacts differently to different kinds of diets. I mean, and exercise, like Roger said, everyone's an individual. and reacts differently. That's why we personally, our company, the One-to-One Diet, we give one-to-one support. So we have consultants who are kind of like a coach Roger would have had while he was training. And they'll give bespoke advice on a one-to-one basis with clients. So, and we know this works, and we even know it works long-term because we've got some new research out of Oxford University that's showing that if you have this one-to-one support and you teach people, like Roger was saying, find someone who can help you. If you teach people how to change their relationship with food and get into the right habits, then you get long-term success. We got 2, 3, 4 year studies, the most recent one out of Oxford, that show you can do it in the long term, because that's always been the problem with diets is anyone can do a certain diet and lose a stone or a half a stone, but can you keep it off? That's the tough part.
And is that, Roger, key to the whole aspect, that as well as the social aspect of actually, as you said, buddying up, actually having somebody who will, not necessarily aggressively, but effectively help to sort of nudge you in the right direction of keeping fit?
Well, I think it's even more subtle than that. I look back at my athletic career, and I was very fortunate to have a training buddy, quite a well-known guy. His name was Chris Akabusi. You may have chatted to Chris.
He's had some reasonable success over the time, basically. Has he been to the Lincolnshire show? I don't think so. So there we are, Roger.
I don't know. He's probably on a golf course most
Indeed.
Of the time. But I look back at that relationship, and of course we ran together. Of course we trained together. Of course we took each other to performance levels that we probably wouldn't have done on our own. But the thing for me was, you know, if I didn't feel like going training in the morning, if I didn't have him knowing that he would be down the track waiting for me, I may not have gone. The fact is, I was far more likely to let myself down than to let him down. And I think that's why, you know, having somebody or a group of people to exercise with or even go on a diet with isn't the fact that you need them to motivate you. It's the fact that actually you won't want to let them down. You'll feel accountable to them, and therefore you just do it. And it's always those first steps, isn't it? And it's always, you know, once you get out and you get doing the exercise, you actually enjoy it. But it's those first steps. And I think you're far more likely to take those steps either with a coach alongside you or other people to do it with. And it's just more social and it's more fun.
And Mark,
Roger's put his finger on it. He's very intuitive. He knows this stuff. And I can back that up. There's very good research to show that when you have the support, especially kind of trained expert support, you get much better outcomes. It's a gold standard method for behavior change, and proper behavior change leads to good habits. And good habits is what it's all about.
Indeed. Although I suspect that in the next 50 or 20 years, we'll probably have artificial life forms and AIs effectively coaching us along as well. But that's a different line. The sense of a virtual Roger Black in every household, effectively coaching you on the whole thing, and a virtual Mark Gilbert providing nutritional advice. It could happen. I just put it out there.
My wife would advise against it.
Yeah. Do as I say, not what I do.
Indeed. Mark, finally, where can people go to find out further information about the one-to-one diet?
Yeah, if you go to the one-to-onediet.com, you can get information there. We have all the scientific backing of the diet, and you can get yourself a consultant. There's over 7,000 of them all around the country, and there's no obligation. They're not going to charge you anything. You just have a chat, see if it's for you. If it doesn't work for you, fine, hang up. And if it does, then you can get further details from the consultant.
Fantastic. And again, Mark, just allowing for the fact I detect a slight North American touch to your accent, this is Cambridge, England, as opposed to Cambridge, Massachusetts, or are we in a different Cambridge entirely?
Well, I'm Canadian, so I don't know.
There we are, you see. I did say North American, to be fair.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, just wanted to actually work on that basis.
Yeah. Well, Cambridge is where our diet was actually evolved from. A man who went to Cambridge University for 50 years.
Well, it's been a blast connecting with both of you once again. Take care as ever. Roger Black, MBE, and of course, nutritionist extraordinaire Mark Gilbert. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on, Alex.
America, sha-la-la-la-la. The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
I'm just praying you can figure this out. When there's nothing left, you know I'll still be around. And if all of this is dragging you under, I'll remind you of the wilderness wonder. I'm just praying we can figure this out. These better dreams, they seem to last. And even though it's in the past, I know it's hard for you to talk, bare your soul and open up. Can't imagine everything you've been through. You've taken the bad times and made them good. Cause when everything is dragging me under, you remind me of the wilderness wonder. And I'm just glad that we have figured this out. These better dreams, they seem to last. And even though it's in the past, no.
He goes, not waiting for anybody in any way, shape or form, and launching the whole sequence once again. Tom Walker, the name of the musician. Now, you may well have expected, dear listener, for our movie reviews, we would have actually gone upbeat. We would have gone Bill and Ted Face the Music, but no, we've gone for something that probably is much, much, much more terrifying in terms of memories of war-torn Eastern Europe and indeed memories of murder. It's just, I mean, Richard, I really thought you would have actually gone Richard Fitzwilliams for Bill and Ted Face the Music, but you have passed on this masterpiece by Keanu Reeves.
Not according to most critics. As you're perfectly well aware, you're having fun these days. You throw out ideas, but firstly, have you seen it?
If you can't have fun...
Have you seen it?
If you can't have fun during lockdown or potential lockdown circuit breakers and so on, when can you, Richard? Yeah, that's what I say. When can you?
It is a very, very sensitive, very difficult period in the lives of so many.
Ooh.
Indeed. And I would be the last person to pretend that the films we are talking about are, cheerful.
No, exactly. And I just sort of quote from The Scotsman, the latest Bill and Ted outing serves up a wonderful mixture of silliness and joie de vivre.
That's not what the London critics have thought.
Yeah, you said, well, that's exactly one of the reasons why the difference between Scotland and England has never been growing more pronounced from the whole system.
There is always that one could take from it. Oh, indeed. But I have to say that when it comes to a film, and this is an opportunity to, when you have the chance to see a film, I didn't see Boon Jong-ho's Memories of Murder when it came out first. It was his second feature. What I had was an opportunity to sit in the cinema, and my goodness, it's an electrifying experience. But I have to say also, of course, people are not yet going back to cinemas in London yet in any number.
And nor should they, according to Morris, nor should they.
I don't think he's said anything of the sort that I've heard.
Who knows what our Prime Minister is saying these days, but I suspect it would be a brave person indeed who actually decides to head into a potential COVID-contaminated area.
I mean, one must make this point that it depends on the size of the cinema. It depends, obviously, on how many people are there. And if there's practically nobody there, which has been my experience, I'm afraid, then I cannot see the threat. Of course, I see the potential danger. I mean, that's a different matter. And local cinemas, some of them, I mean, Tenet has been doing rather well. Equally, Mulan, which had connections, very undesirable political connections, and also demanded £19 if you wish to view it. We discussed it last week. That has flopped. And it also shows the ethical side of it, because their thanks to a region of the country in China where very undesirable features, the human condition of the Uyghur population. I mean, this is a dreadfully serious issue, and also the main actress has her own political views, which do not seem very democratic. All of this, together with Disney's avoidance of cinema, has not benefited it, if you look at the headlines on that. And it's not a good movie either.
Well, again, you know, it can be in the eye of the beholder. But let's move on. Wait, do you want to go Career with Memories of Murder?
Because this is, it really is fascinating. I admired Parasite enormously. But my goodness me, this is a movie that, well, it's stunning. It's a true story, based on a true story. And I would suggest, see the movie, and then look up the story, because you have to be very, very careful, spoilers, reviewing this. In 1986, two women are found raped and murdered in a ditch. This is in South Korea. Detective Park Doo-man, played by Song Kang-ho, finds evidence, but it's very, very difficult to come by because of the chaotic nature of policing in this very, very unfortunately. Well, in fact, if you're a suspect, you don't want to be interviewed. You get real problems. But they've got no forensic technology. They simply are not efficient. And his partner, Detective Cho, played by Kim Roy-ha, has his own way of getting a confession. He'll beat it out of you. Not very desirable. We've also got Detective Kim Sang-kyung, played by Seo Tao-yoon. He is from Seoul, and he wants to help solving crimes because this is a killer who waits until there's a rainy night. He attacks women, especially those wearing red, and it has been noticed the local radio plays a particular tune on the nights the murder is committed. The first person they interview is someone who's mentally handicapped, Baek Kwang-ho, played by Park No-sik, and what does he have to say? And what indeed could they possibly have missed in his initial evidence that he gives them? And this is a movie that will keep you on the edge of your seat. And one of the reasons is not only the excellent cast, but the cutting, the way that the director Bong Joon-ho uses cameras to devastating effect. I mean, this, for example, if you follow as a woman walking in the rain and she thinks someone is following her, she's sure of it. Now, how does she respond? Where does she look? Where could the person be, and what, well, you can guess probably what's going to happen, but the way tension's built up with the editing, with the killer waiting to pounce, You see, it was a presence. It really is masterly. And I mean, there's a chase scene, which is extremely good. It's been done so often in movies, we know this. But this really is special. I mean, it really marked him out, as I mentioned, his second feature, as a remarkable director. Superb cast, to be true. There's even a barroom brawl, which puts Westerns to shame, because so often in those, they seemed so fake. So, I mean, it is a movie which it has extra impact if you actually read the full history. I would have to leave it there because I think that, you know, it's quite a film to discover for yourself what happens. But on the other hand, black and white photography, and it's the darkness of this movie that it draws you in. You never know what's going to happen.
A re-release, obviously, of the original 2003 release of Memories of Murder. And just think, if actually critics had been around and actually with it in those days of 2003, we would be forgetting all about Master and Commander, the other 2003 debacle, and actually saying Memories of Murder much better.
It was a successful film, but it was not a successful film as hoped. Peter Weir directed Master and Commander. I recommend all listeners to see it and ignore your weekly jibes about it. And I'd also say I wish that there was a sequel. It was, as I say, it was quite successful, but not as successful as they'd hoped, so there hasn't been. But maybe in time. Russell Crowe's been...
Richard, I would simply say, choose the lesser of two weevils.
Oh, very good. But out of context, you see, no one will appreciate that.
No, but if you've seen the movie, you'll appreciate that. I have nothing against Master and Commander if you expect to see a comedy, which is fine. You will.
It's the sort of naval humour that... that particular type of person would think that was extremely funny.
Yes.
It's your lack of understanding of the genre that shows itself, that displays itself, that's obvious, I have to say.
In 1965, Jerzy Kosinski wrote a novel called The Painted Bird, describing World War II as seen by a boy considered a gypsy or Jewish stray, wandering about small villages scattered around an unspecified country in Central and Eastern Europe. A film has been now released about the, so they were affected as 2019. Would you like to talk us through your thoughts about Václav Mahul's The Painted Bird?
Well, Václav Mahul is the director. This is certainly an extraordinary film. Petr Kotcha plays Juska, and he is a young boy who is in Eastern Europe during the Second World War, during the Nazi occupation, and this is a movie where we see why he doesn't speak. It moves from one almost unbelievably brutal, horrifying scene to another. Indeed, from the opening image, which just about took my breath away, it was so horrible, we see a country which is still pretty medieval. There are Nazi occupiers there, and they add their own brutality to what I can only describe as a film that, powerful to be sure, visually it's superb, but there is a problem. Movies can make their points without showing the abusive, the scenes of abuse of children, of animals, not to mention, of course, adults who are perpetually being maimed and tortured. I haven't seen anything like this. As someone who is rather squeamish, I have to warn any listener who, and this is the movie on release at the moment, with an 18 certificate, my goodness me, I can see why, that, you know, if you sup full of horror, and it's obvious what it symbolizes, it's obvious why, then obviously you will find, and you've got nearly 3 hours, I would also point out, but it...
Plus, of course, you could also catch coronavirus as well. I mean, honestly...
There is, of course, always that as a possibility. But I have to say that you really, really feel, I mean, I reviewed it, and I therefore stayed the distance. Not everybody in various festivals where it was screening did, and you could see why. The problem I do find with images as horrible as these, I don't propose going into it in detail, is because they haunt you afterwards. They're meant to. Therefore, if this is your cup of tea, and indeed there are those who are mad keen on horror films, then movies that I find...
Yeah, the difference, of course, being that horror films, by their very nature, tend to be adult fairy tales. In the main, not always, in the main. Whereas this is clearly based on the tragedy and genuine horror of real life, which is another instance entirely.
It is indeed, and, well, I can only say, if you see it, you won't ever forget it. But the images that it leaves you with are ones that
Richard,
I
said you should have gone to see Bill and Ted Face the Music.
There
much
is
better.
Always that possibility in the future.
Be excellent to each other. Surely that is the motto we should be working from, whether you're from Huawei, TikTok, or any of the companies that control the world. We should be excellent to each other.
Well, I can only say that I should perhaps have been warned that this was going to be an unusual movie by the weird poster, which has a boy buried in sand up to his neck and
looking at a bird.
Ravens.
Exactly.
Very near.
It isn't painted at all, really.
Well, there is a scene where a bird is painted and let loose.
Yeah.
And you see what happens when he reaches the sky because the paint attracts other birds and what they do to it, you can imagine. The problem is there is so much violence, horrible scenes of torture in this film. So I can only say that if I were rating it, I'd give it one rating for myself and another for its technical excellence. But it's... the problem is I don't read reviews of why I see films, because you're then going to, well, not only spoil it, the danger, but also you'll absorb someone else's view.
Then how could you have a view on Bill and Ted Face the Music, Richard? Honestly.
You have to choose and prioritise, and I mix them up as well, you know.
Exactly. You know, I can't believe that Keanu Reeves didn't actually get first choice. I had a feeling that Keanu was up in your list of category A1s alongside Russell Crowe and indeed Meryl Streep as actually must-see movie people. But
well, now, there's a comparison. Now, according to most people, that movie is just silly. Most reviews, that movie is just silly.
But you said you don't read the reviews, so how can you actually say that most reviewers, if you don't read the reviews,
very
you wouldn't know?
Easily, what I do, you turn over a page and you see the stars. You ask questions to try and track me.
Nonsense. But there we are. Richard, it has been fantastic as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed.
And in which case, we'll connect with you again via Zoom or phone in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely.
Living on free food tickets, ordering the milk from a hole in the roof where the rain came through. What can you do? Tears from your little sister, crying because she doesn't have a dress without a patch for the party to go. But you know she'll get by, cause she's living in the love of the common people. Smile from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. And she can. It's a good thing you don't have us there. People fall through the hole in your pocket and you lose it in the snow on the ground. You gotta walk in the town to find a job. Try to keep your hands warm. When the hole in your shoe, let the snow come through until you're to the bone. Somehow you better go home where it's warm, where you can live in the love of the common people. Smile from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love you just as much as she can. And she can.
closer the knit, the tighter the fit, and the two stay away. Just take them in stride for family pride. You know that faith is your foundation, with a whole lot of love and a warm conversation. But don't forget to pray, just making it strong where you belong. And we're living in the love of the common people, smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to, mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. And she can. Yes, we're living in the love of the common people, smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to, mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. Living in the love of the common people, smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to.
Of course, in the 21st century, in the year of our Lord 2020, if you actually had a group of backing singers who are called the Fabulously Wealthy Tarts and basically going throughout the whole thing, you might have actually sort of said, no, they could be going down with breathlessness and all sorts of potential pandemic problems. Still, that's time for you. And who would have thought Richard Fitzwilliams would have gone for Memories of Murder and The Painted Bird, as opposed to Bill and Ted Face the Music? I know, I'm equally as shocked, probably as shocked as Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Hello there, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day you're listening. Hey!
Yeah, exactly. It's that temporal causality thing is something which, despite the fact the very best efforts of our Kronos scientists to actually come to grips with it, the whole system ultimately was saying, well, let's just hand it all over to Huawei or TikTok.
Well, indeed. Indeed. You mean Project TikTok?
Of course. Where do you want to take us for this review of the podcast of things we've produced as part of the Midweek Drive banner?
Looking back to September the 16th, when
that's a long time ago,
a show with Matthew Clark, Graham Harper, Eloise Sheehan, and Jessica Burtis. Now, I chose that one specifically because I saw two words that immediately fascinated me. Visual designer. Now, as we know, visual designers are responsible for the look and feel of a television show or a film. They're responsible for all the intricate background detail. Everything that you see, everything that's on somebody's desk or pinned to a wall. I mean, and that just fascinates me because it's possibly the most integral tool of drawing you in to whatever you're watching. It's basically, it's all in the detail, the hub of credibility, if
it's,
you like.
It's like one of these radio productions, really. It's all
indeed
in the detail.
I mean, you know, visual designer Matthew Clark may well have arranged everything that's around you on your desk right now.
Exactly.
And not only that, but what's actually showing on your screen.
Precisely.
There we are. So I was really fascinated to hear him talk about the things that he's done. And it was fascinating to hear a director of Graham Harper's undoubted and undisputed cult caliber talk to him about some of the things he's done. And, of course, through that discussion, other things came in as well.
Give up the grey spaceships! Give up the grey spaceships!
Exactly where I... Are you reading my notes? Have you got a webcam here?
We like to feel as though we do our rehearsals, Robin, as you're well aware. It's always important.
They talked about the grey, miserable current state of sci-fi. And I agree with you. I am in complete agreement with you. It's true that, as Graham says, you can get whatever you want these days. You want to imagine it, the CGI graphics can create it for you. But there's an oppressive dystopian feel these days, and I think it's too far from the optimism of Roddenberry's 60s Star Trek.
The Enterprise was indeed a version of grey, you could argue. It was a kind of grey things there, but there were lots of colourful aspects inside with the uniforms
and
such
like. Well, there were colourful aspects inside, of course. And the overriding wave that you felt watching Star Trek was optimism, because it was the 23rd century, we will still be here. Things like racism and
pandemics,
materialism will have been swept away and it'll be a brave new world. But these days, a lot of sci-fi says, you know, we'll still be here, but we will be miserable about it. It will rain all the time. It's like Blade Runner.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you can even go
further.
I like
Blade Runner. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, there's quite a lot of colouring Blade Runner as well. But,
well, there is, but it's that dystopian, you know, dark city. It's there's no optimism. Where's my jetpack? Where's my flying car? Why am I not living in a domed city under the sea or on the moon? I was promised all this by the year 2000, and I want what I've been promised. Science fiction kind of lied to me.
If it helps, Robin, Ant and Dec are actually using fake jetpacks to actually be faked into their latest Britain's Got Talent scenario. I don't know if that helps at all. I mean, that might be a...
We're coming into another arena now, where I know absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What's this about Graham destroying the rover's return in a tram accident? Somehow, whatever that is, has missed me completely.
The 100th episode. The big scenario, or shall we say
the
1,000th episode, I should say, of The Street back in the early part of the 21st century. Huge issue. I'm sure you could look it up on YouTube. Look at Disaster at the Rover's Return. It was carnage. As I said at the time.
The old set has gone now. It's completely different.
Oh, a long, long time. Years ago, exactly.
Is the Rover's Return now a weather
revamped? Revamped completely.
Haven't watched that show since the last century.
I did suggest that what they needed to make it truly award winning was, in addition to the tram crash, they should have had
Caldwell with a jetpack.
I was thinking Daleks and Cybermen, but crossover.
Oh, what a crossover that would be! And somehow Ken Barlow would still be smug.
Yeah.
Right, then you went on to talk to a lady called Adele Caney, a fashionista. Now, you know me.
She's French as well, of course.
I am hardly a style icon. So,
I mean, Billie Eilish doesn't come to you asking for advice, I'm sure. Billie Eilish doesn't come to yourself asking for advice.
Oh, burn! You know, I'm not a style icon, so fashion gurus might as well be talking Romulan. You know, listen, I'm 60 years old and a reclusive nerd to boot. Fashion misses are a way of life to me. So I'm not going to be dressing like Kylie Jenner. Now, another question, and I do apologize to our listeners who might be just beating their heads against a wall. I, other than this possibly a vague connection with the Kardashians, I have no idea who she is. Is she important? Should I know?
It's what YouTube and such like are for, and TikTok and other devices that run the world.
So no, then, really. Anyway, I'm not going to be dressing like her or anybody else like that anytime soon. You know, maybe I'm just not savvy. Maybe. And I'm not talking about Louis Savvy here, who's a friend to both of us. I'm just not fashion savvy. It's T-shirt and jeans for me. And I've even specified that for my funeral, which hopefully will be a couple of centuries away yet. So, the contributor of the month.
A week.
Sorry.
Unless you've decided to expand it on a different line.
No. I'm not renegotiating my contract.
It's okay.
Either.
It's not Stone Tapes, you know.
Oh, happy memories. Huh? I'm going for... We did a Hollywood legend last week for the first time ever in Valerie Perrine. Mm-hmm. This week, It goes hands down to Matthew Clark because of the magnificent way he actually fenced off all the questions, answered everything, and there was an overwhelming deluge from yourself and Eloise and Jessica, not to mention the grilling he got from Graham Harper. He answered everything admirably, and it was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, his first time on the show.
The answer is, yes, indeed, it was his debut on the Midweek Drive. Lots of brightness, lots of colour, but unbelievable sexism. I can't believe that, as I said, George Sewell got away as his character as Alec Freeman. Actually.
We were watching that the late last year. Steve and I went through all of UFO.
Yeah,
George Sewell was a bit his
seedy.
Character was seedy.
I mean, nuts. I mean, you talk about your Trump-esque sort of character in Waiting, or indeed your potential of a film producer. Who, I mean, honestly, really, there would have been a writ issued within the first five minutes.
Absolutely, he was like 1980s Harvard Weinstein.
But
I've got to go on record right now, before we even touch Resonance Rewind on Wednesday, UFO, for my money, has one of the best theme tunes and opening title sequences of any program ever. As soon as the telepipe starts, wow, you're just excited at it. Nice editing or what?
I was thinking maybe
see, now I can see the moon pulling away.
Exactly. Because I mean, it was wonderful symmetry between it. It was almost as though Barry Gray's predictive capabilities of going from the bright opening sound where everything's well to just a slightly scary image of the aliens. Exactly. Yeah. Never mind. That, as you say, will be the subject of a future Resonance Rewind, which, again, is being aired on Siren Radio. If you're listening to this on Siren Radio, if not, go to the Resonance Rewind piece or the segment as far as the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com site is concerned, or indeed just go to Robin Pierce's website and you will find not only Piercing the Veil, but also all the other details that feature Robin in glorious stereophonic wonder. So there we have it. And the good news is we hope that Matthew will be back with us next week also for the Midweek Drive, who will return together with Stacey Souther, possibly even Phil Leonis as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's just, you know, we go to no end of the research or something in terms of putting that together.
We'll go to the ends of the earth to entertain our listener.
That's very true. That is very true.
And if you're not listening to all of the Southside broadcasting output, then why not?
Well, there you have it.
There may be a second wave coming. Surf's up.
I mean,
use your time wisely.
Yeah.
Binge listen.
Exactly. So that's it then. Wales, okay. Presumably still not in full lockdown as yet. They haven't short-circuited Wales. Number five is alive. Number five is alive. No disassemble. No disassemble.
Life is not a mistake.
Exactly. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today,
it's
Robin?
Fun, Alex. Thank you.
Marvellous. We will see you for Resonance Rewind then in almost immediately, it won't be said really, but, you know, in a few days, whatever. You will return.
I will return.